We open with hymn number 375. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Worship him, all ye his angels. Zion heard and was glad. The daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities, and in all dangers and necessities stretch forth thy mighty hand to defend us against our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday after Epiphany is found in the fifth chapter of 2 Kings, the 1st through the 19th verse. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and make alive, that this man sends me a man to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious, and he went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him, saying, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and he came and he stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. But he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." And then he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 12th chapter of Romans, the 16th through the 21st verse. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here ends the epistle lesson. The heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 8th chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 13th verse.
Glory to thee, O
Lord. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Then when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Here ends the gospel.
We confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing the second hymn from God the Father, Virgin Born, in the back of the bulletin. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 8th chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 16th verse. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority also, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, if the leper said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And for the one and only time recorded in the Gospels, Jesus said the words, I will it. Jesus touched the leper and said, I will it. Be clean. And this man was immediately cleansed of his leprosy. With just a touch, Jesus cleanses us also from sin. He announces it in the gospel, I so will it, be clean. And with the waters of baptism, he does what he says he is willing to do. Our sin is cleansed, and our spirit is made whole. That is the power of Jesus' word and will. Whoever hears it and believes that he is the one who forgives their sins has what he promises, and he is saved, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We do not see leprosy much these days, although there are usually around 100 cases even in our own country in any given year. This never makes the news because the cure for leprosy has been known for a long time. Not that I would wish this horrible disease on anyone, but it is too bad that we are not so familiar with the disease as was the old world. In all the ancient world, leprosy was well known, but it had the greatest stigma in Israel among the Jews. For God, through Moses, had given some very stringent rules regarding lepers, both in their daily lives and in the miraculous case that any of them might be healed. He does not treat any other disease like this, except, perhaps you might argue, in the case of a dead body. Many have mistakenly believed that leprosy was highly contagious, and that was why God gave these ordinances, just to prevent the spread of disease. The idea was especially prevalent during the Middle Ages, where they sequestered lepers in colonies needlessly. We now know that leprosy was not highly contagious. It did not spread through casual contact. It took the transfer of body fluids to spread it, and even then it was often not transmitted. Therefore, the rest of the ancient world was not like Israel in their treatment of leprosy. We see, for example, in Naaman's case,
that not only could he serve as the captain of the Syrian army, he continued to be a man of valor on the battlefield and won many wars and battles for his king. Though the disease would continue to take its toll upon him until eventually it would inevitably mean the breakdown of his body as his flesh was slowly eaten away. Well, if there was not such a grave threat of contamination, why then the laws that God gave to Moses? The reason was because that God used leprosy as a very visible and public reminder of the nature of sin. In leprosy, as well as in the many laws about uncleanness, God was not protecting the health of the nation, but preaching the law in a very visible and personal and memorable way. Like leprosy, sin slowly eats away at a person and inevitably leads to death. In that day, leprosy could not be cured by any work of the leper nor by even the most skilled physician. It was a death sentence. So it is with sin. Nothing can cure it. Nothing can end or suppress it. It only grows, and inevitably it ends in death. Only a miracle could cure a man of the disease of leprosy. And so only by God's divine intervention could a man be cured of sin, cleansed from it. And so it is divine intervention that the leper in our gospel lesson sought. And he sought it with a remarkable faith. We know from what Jesus later tells him that he was a Jew because Gentiles did not have to go show themselves to the priests, offer sacrifices, and be ceremonially pronounced free from the disease. Therefore, because he was a Jew, he should have, by all rights, kept far back from the multitudes who followed Jesus from down from the mountain where he preached the sermon, shouting out, "Unclean!" But he boldly pressed forward and he falls down at Jesus' feet. And all the things he could say, perhaps begging the Lord to have mercy upon him, instead he says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." The Gospel of Luke tells us a little bit more about the man's case, that his leprosy was well advanced. This probably means he had already had lost fingers and toes to the disease. As it is today, when a cancer is spread throughout the body, there is no hope for the man but a miracle. And as he prostrates himself before Jesus, worshiping him, he declares his conviction that Jesus is absolutely capable of cleansing, for if he is willing, he will be clean. Now, how this man came to believe that Jesus had such power, we do not know, but it is a remarkable faith. Even so, he does not beg. He simply presents himself to Jesus, and he leaves it to Jesus to decide what to do. Perhaps Jesus was not willing. Perhaps Jesus would determine that it were better if the leper bear with his condition and not be cleansed, even if it meant his death. And so the leper lays himself at the mercy of Jesus, ready to accept whatever pronouncement he would make. Now, to touch a leper, according to the law, was the same as touching a dead body. You yourself were then ceremonially unclean, and you had to perform certain sacrifices and rituals. Nevertheless, Jesus touched the man, and he needed no purification. Was Jesus then a lawbreaker? Not at all. The laws concerning leprosy taught the people the true nature of sin. It makes us outcasts of heaven. It corrupts what it touches. But Jesus is incorruptible. Sin does not touch him and corrupt him like it did our parents, Adam and Eve. He touches sin and he cleanses it away. Jesus does not become unclean by what he touches. What he touches becomes clean. And as for any purification that Jesus must perform, why, he did that once and for all time upon his cross when he cleansed the world of the sin which he bore in his own flesh. It should not be forgotten what it means that Jesus would cure this man of leprosy. when we see what he says later. Any Jew, especially the priests in the temple, who had already turned against Jesus, would recognize that in curing leprosy, Jesus would be demonstrating his power over what leprosy represented, over sin and death. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and to give life. And so Jesus says, without hesitation or further discussion, I will it. Or as the New King James puts it, I am willing. God wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wills that you and I be cleansed from sin. For that is his entire purpose and work on earth. We are the unclean. We are the lepers, cast out and tainted, rightly separated from the kingdom of heaven. And yet Jesus comes to us and tells us that he is willing to cleanse us of our sin. And he not only tells us he is willing, but he touches us. And he actually does it. Consider what that touch of Jesus meant. It meant that God had come down in human flesh and touched man with a real flesh and blood hand. God became man so that he, with his own flesh and blood, could touch us and cleanse us from sin and death. In the flesh, Jesus has the power to forgive sin. In the flesh, he has actually done it by bearing in his flesh the leprosy of our sin and ending our sin with his death. That is the testimony that so many of his own people rejected. The priests, even as this desperate leper believed it. And now that the leper is made clean, Jesus tells him to go immediately, keep the law, offer up the sacrifice that Moses commanded, and show himself to the priests as a testimony against them. Jesus could not often appear in Jerusalem when so many sought to take his life. That is why he was in Capernaum and Nazareth and Galilee. And yet he sends a leper to him whom they could not refuse. A leper whom he had cleansed. And now those same priests who rejected the nature and person of Jesus would have to pronounce the man whom Jesus had cleansed free of leprosy. In their office as priest, they with their own mouths would be made to declare the glory of Christ. And we see that how even there, when there are hypocrites in the office, God causes his word and glory to be made known. That is a great testimony indeed. And even the enemy, that even the enemies of Jesus must finally declare his glory. And so the leper's great faith in Jesus was well placed. But an even greater faith presented itself on that day in the person of a centurion. It is remarkable that if you read through the New Testament and see every case where a centurion appears, they are honorable men. The Gospel of Luke demonstrates that this man was a what we call a Gentile of the gate, meaning he was a convert to the faith of Abraham. But he could only stand in the outer court of the temple because he was a Gentile. He even built a synagogue for the Jews, and the Jews, the elders in his city, highly regarded him. And yet he was a Gentile. He could not even eat at the same table with the Jews. They could not come to his house for fear of being unclean. Luke also tells us that the centurion did not go himself to see Jesus. He did this and he spoke to Jesus through messengers. He sent the elders of the synagogue to plead on his behalf. As with the leper, the centurion's word is simply this: my servant is sick. He waits upon the word of Jesus to cure him. Luke tells us that he actually, Jesus actually went to go to the centurion's house. And that when the centurion realized this, he came rushing out to Jesus with this remarkable word, which is recorded in our lesson: I am not willing that you should come under my roof. Only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion knew what it meant for a Jew to come under the roof of a Gentile. They risked being ceremonially unclean by being exposed to unclean food. Least of all did he want such a thing to happen to Jesus, in whom he had such great faith. He did not want that Jesus should even be counted unclean for a moment because he entered his house. Now this is remarkable in itself. Despite his great need, he had such a high regard for Jesus that he did not want Jesus, who surely would have come to heal his servant, to enter his house. But that is far eclipsed by the confession of faith which the man makes. And it is truly extraordinary. He uses himself as an example, that he has the authority of Rome behind him, so he only needs to say a word and it is carried out. He does not have to do it himself. His soldiers obey his every command. And so it must be with Jesus. Jesus has far greater power than the centurion. He commands not soldiers, not even only angels, but life and death itself. They must flee at his voice. Therefore, the centurion insisted that there was no need for Jesus to come to the servant. If he spoke the word, the servant would be healed. Consider Jesus' own people, even those who believed on him. It is one thing to see in Jesus the Messiah, but it is quite another to have such absolute faith in him, and to so recognize his Godhead that you recognize his word as just as effective as his appearing in person in human flesh right before your eyes. It is this type of faith that Jesus did not find in Israel, even among, at that time, his most faithful disciples. We remember Thomas's denial that he would not believe unless he could see and touch Jesus with his own eyes and fingers. But this belief that the word of Jesus had the power to bring life was not found. And yet there is this very faith that Jesus said would come not just from one centurion, but it would come finally from the whole world. The centurion was ahead of his time, but he was certainly not alone. Not having seen Jesus with our eyes, not having been touched by him in the flesh, nevertheless, we believe that his word has the power on earth to forgive sin just as much today as it did then. For what is true of this centurion is true also of the countless multitude of Gentiles who would come flooding into the kingdom of heaven. They come not because Jesus has done a visible sign before their eyes, but at his word. At his voice, sin and unbelief fly away. And at his voice, their sins are washed away. And so his word continues to come to us, who are the fulfillment of this prophecy of Jesus. We are from the east and the west. Even here, we sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, which is ours by faith. His word is here with us in the scriptures, in preaching and in baptism. And in his supper, he even touches us with his own flesh and blood as he did the leper. And the effect is just as startling and just as sure. All the uncleanness of our flesh, the taint of our sin, is carried away by the word of Jesus, and we are no longer weak, diseased, spiritually dying and dead. We are whole and perfect and clean entirely. We need not worry that Jesus will be tainted by our uncleanness when he comes under our roof. Just as with the leper, we do not make Jesus unclean. He, by his word and sacraments, makes us clean. God grant that we gladly hear him, believing that as he speaks his word, we are made whole. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose eyes are upon the righteous and whose ears are open to their prayers, hear now the prayer of thy people and grant unto us all that we need for the health of our souls and bodies. We praise thee, O God, for the revelation of thy will in the glorious transfiguration of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through the revelation of this mighty sign in thy holy word, give to us the faith to behold his eternal deity and to worship and adore him in sincerity and truth. Grant that we may know him as the light of the world, our Son of righteousness, the manifest image of thine own divine being. Look upon thy church in all places, and grant that we and all who bear the name of Christ may offer up daily sacrifices unto thee of repentance, faith, and thanksgiving. And as thou hast cleansed us with the leprosy of sin by the preaching of thy word and the administration of thy sacraments, grant that we may always find in them thy voice and thy touch, that thereby we might know that we are cleansed from sin and given eternal life, even as thou hast promised. Behold our nation, O God, deliver it from all workers of iniquity and purge it from all unrighteousness. Have mercy upon us, and by thy great power save and defend us. For our whole world we pray, grant that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving health among all nations. And for our members we pray, especially those who are suffering in body and spirit, that thou might be with them. Be with Linda Dears as she bears with her illness, and if it be thy will, O Lord, grant her soundness to her flesh. Be with Karen Nyhus, that she may be cured of her disease, and that she might yet stand before thee with the righteous and glorify thy name and thy goodness. Thou who art nigh unto all them that call upon thee in truth, hear our prayer, and by thy mercy grant our petitions, for Christ's sake. Amen.
We sing hymn number 129. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. And now do we praise thee that thou didst send unto us thine only begotten Son, and that in him being found in fashion as a man, thou didst manifest the fullness of thy glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, thou Lord, that takest away our sins.
true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 49.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.